And welcome to Outbeat Collage, Out in the Arts. Thank you for tuning in tonight. I'm Michaela Kennan, and I'm joined here in the KRCB studios by my co-hosts, Gary Carnevelli, and engineer Mary Moore Campagna. Our guests on tonight's show are Colin Turek, certified senior advisor and partner of Sonoma Home Care. He will chat about the issues facing LGBT seniors and also how the film Jen Silent addresses those issues. Also with us, Efren Espinoza, who is a singer, DJ, and the president at ENF Productions, which also hosts a monthly LGBT dance party. First up, it's Greg Moralia with the Outbeat Radio News and Calendar.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for Sunday, January 8th, 2012. HBO has a new documentary called The Loving Story, which tackles a historic legal case with a timely message about marriage equality. The parallels between the landmark 1967 Supreme Court case Loving v. Virginia and the fight for marriage equality today are undeniable. Forced to flee their home state of Virginia and live in exile in Washington, D.C., or risk being arrested again for having violated the state's Racial Integrity Act, Mildred and Richard Loving, a mixed-race couple, took the only route they could find to get back home, through the courts. Filmmaker Nancy Bursky said they were in a community in the state of Virginia that not only tolerated their marriage, but really fostered it. She added, "It reminds you of what it means for a state to step in and tell you what to do with our personal freedoms. The relationship to gay marriage is there, and it's intentional." And she added, "But it's a kind of Trojan horse issue." HBO premieres The Loving Story on February 14th. And in a related story this week, attorneys for the Canadian government announced that thousands of non-resident same-sex couples married in Canada may not be legally wed if the marriage is not recognized in their home country or state, this according to the Canadian government. The Globe Mail reports on the sudden shift, which could cast legal doubt on thousands of same-sex weddings performed in Canada for couples from abroad. More than one-third of the 15,000 same-sex marriages that have taken place since the law took effect in 2005 have involved couples from the United States and other countries. The reversal of federal policy is revealed in a document filed in a Toronto test case launched recently by a lesbian couple seeking a divorce. The couple wed in Toronto in 2005 and have been told that they cannot divorce because they were never really married. A Department of Justice lawyer says their marriage is not legal in Canada since they could not have lawfully wed in Florida or England where the two partners reside. For those California couples who were married in Canada prior to the passage of Proposition 8, Senator Mark Leno wrote Senate Bill 54, which then Governor Schwarzenegger signed into law. This bill added to existing law a statement that says same-sex marriages performed out of state, which include Canada, prior to the passage of Proposition 8, are legal and recognized in California. And here in the North Bay, the Pride Alliance Network will host Coming Together to Make It Better, coming up Saturday, February 4th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Mendocino College, 1000 Hensley Creek Road in Ukiah. The conference will bring together experts on social, medical, legal, and mental health issues in an effort to create safety and well-being for LGBT youth in schools, families, and the community. The conference will feature Dr. Caitlin Ryan of the Family Acceptance Project at San Francisco State University, Colin Close, who will speak about gender advocacy, training, and education, Dr. Jennifer Hastings of Planned Parenthood, and Kim Pearson from the Trans Youth Family Allies. The Pride Alliance Network is a nonprofit organization that serves the LGBT community of Mendocino and Lake Counties. They organize this event with PFLAG, the North Bay Chapter, GLAM, and Mendocino County. Allison Ryder, one of the board members of Pride Alliance, said, "Coming together to make it better will bring together these leaders to educate the community in an effort to foster bullying-free, healthy environments for our children and young adults. We will also have two panels, one made up of young people and the other of adults, who will talk about their experiences as LGBTQ and take questions from participants." Allison joined the Pride Alliance Network about a year ago, hoping to serve the LGBT community. She is transgender herself, but has only been able to present as female for the last 4 years. She describes herself as a, quote, newbie, but will serve on the conference's adult panel and is looking forward to sharing her story in an effort to bring about positive changes in the manner transgender individuals are treated. For more information, go to www.mendopride.com. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Monday, January 16th at 7 p.m., parents of Transgender Youth Support Group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Tuesday, January 17th at 6 p.m., the trans group will also gather at the Positive Images Center. On Friday, January 20th at 10:30 a.m., the Sonoma Valley Seniors Group will meet at the Vintage House Senior Center, 264 First Street East in Sonoma. And also on Friday at 6:30 p.m., the Napa Gorilla Gay Bar will happen at the Empress Theater, 330 Virginia Street in Vallejo. The evening begins with a performance by Jazz Cartel, and then the movie Sunset Boulevard, which begins at 8 p.m. And also on Friday at 6:30 p.m., the Sonoma Gaydar will happen at the HKG Estate Tasting Room, 13647 Arnold Drive in Glen Ellen. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Outbeat Collage with Gary Carnevale and Michaela Kennan.
Welcome back to LP Collage Out in the Arts. I'm Gary Carnevale. Our first guest tonight is Colin Turek, who is a certified senior advisor and a partner of Sonoma Home Care, which offers seniors non-medical service in Sonoma and Napa counties. In December, Colin helped organize a screening of Jen Silent, a powerful documentary about the challenges that face LGBT older adults. Welcome to LP Collage, Colin.
Thank you, Gary.
Talk a bit about your decision to work with older adults and what such work means to you.
Well, when I first began my work in elder care, it was more kind of a recognition that, you know, we're all in this together, you know, and it's aging is very inclusive, and being healthy and aging well is something that we all need to invest in. So I started researching it and looking into ways in which we can age better and started, you know, working more intimately with elderly people and seniors and felt that I really had a passion for it. And so, you know, kind of, you know, through life, through different series of events, one day you wake up and you find yourself working in this fantastic career, working with fantastic people. And, yeah, that's pretty much how I got involved with the elderly, you know, population.
Tell us all about Sonoma Home Care, when it started, what services you provide your clients, and how many clients and caregivers you have.
Sonoma Home Care is, we're a locally owned and operated home care agency here in Sonoma County. We service Marin and Napa as well. Currently, we're helping close to, you know, in between just above 60 individuals. And our caregivers, we have about 60 to 70 individuals who help people every single day. The services that we offer range kind of wildly. And I love the different services that we offer because sometimes, you know, an individual may not need a ton of help. For instance, if an elderly gentleman, you know, in his 70s has Alzheimer's, but his body is still really, really active. You know, we may take him and play tennis with him once a week for an hour or two, you know, but then on the other side of that, of course, we help individuals who need up to 24 hours of care a day, helping with anything from dressing, grooming, bathing, you know, toileting and such. So the scope is large, you know, a lot of companionship care as well.
And so how many caregivers do you employ?
We're between 60 and 70. It fluctuates because of the industry, you know, and because of the jobs. It's our services is people. So what we provide is people. So, you know, we keep a good group employed.
So do you provide services for older adults who live both at home and in senior housing facilities?
Yeah, which is interesting because, yes, we do. And the senior housing and options are much different, you know, than they used to. So when you talk about senior housing, there's retirement housing, there's assisted living, there's skilled nursing. All of them are different. If you're talking about a retirement community, you know, we work in those communities quite a bit because those are elderly individuals who rent an apartment within a facility that has, you know, amenities such as the cafeteria or the diner and the salon and a lot of, you know, social activities. So, yes, we do. When we start looking at assisted living facilities, a lot of those facilities already offer care through their own staff. But there are some circumstances where we can go in and offer additional help should a person require it or want it. When we get into a skilled nursing facility, we're not necessarily in there on an ongoing basis unless it's, you know, contracted for one reason or another. But those are more of your medical-based services that we don't offer.
What percentage of Sonoma Healthcare's clients are LGBT?
Your guess is as good as mine, Gary, you know, which is why this topic is so important, because the LGBT community who are aging, who are needing services right now, are unfortunately kind of left not knowing how to navigate this industry, the senior industry. So a lot of them remain closeted or go back into the closet or become very, very, very filtered on the information that they pass to us. So, you know, I don't know. You know, speculation only gets you so far, but mm-hmm. which is, you know, hopefully, you know, is something that we can change in the future.
Do you have a number of LGBT caregivers?
From what I know, yes, it's not something that I could ask,
right,
but
right.
Yeah, from what I, yes, we do have a good network of individuals who are either LGBT themselves or very LGBT friendly, and you know.
Do you try to match those caregivers with clients you suspect may be LGBT?
If there is a way that I can accommodate that sort of relationship, absolutely. You know, with caregiving, when you start bringing in a caregiver into someone's home, there's a lot of things that you have to keep in consideration. You're bringing somebody into someone's home. It's a very intimate and very vulnerable relationship that develops. So if there is any inclination that I get from a client that would suggest that they would be more comfortable with somebody who is LGBT or specific or LGBT friendly, I absolutely will try to accommodate that. Yeah.
So talk about some of those special situations where LGBT seniors encounter talk about some of the special situations LGBT folks have to deal with.
Well, you know, aging LGBT people have to, I mean, there is so much, but a lot of it in the medical field is well, it's okay. Let's just start with them, for instance. Mm-hmm. This is a generation of people who have fought really hard through their entire lives, either if they've come out or if they haven't. The battle has been intense for them. You know, this is a group of people who were, you know, put through electroshock therapy because they were suspected or had come out of being LGBT or had come out of the
40s
closet.
And 50s,
and right. So these are the people who were, you know, they're on the front line of the movement, of the gay rights movement. And so when they have been taught through practice that being LGBT is not okay, and specifically in the medical field. So, you know, they were clinically considered, faulted, fractured individuals for being, you know, being gay or being lesbian or transgender. So when they now come back into the medical field, the same medical field that was giving them electric shock therapy, they're having to overcome a lot of existing
fears.
Hesitations and fears, you know. So, you know, that's step one. Step two is that there still are prejudices. You know, there are still stories of skilled nursing facilities bringing in, you know, nurses bringing in or certified nurses assistant, you know, bringing in a priest to still try to pray the gay away. Mm. So, you know, it's something that still does exist. So, you know, but luckily we live in a great area and I haven't heard too many stories recently of that happening. But there, for every good story, I'm sure there's just buckets of horrible stories. So, so for those reasons, people do stay very silent about it. So, for instance, when I walk into a home and I try to pick up on cues and I'm developing a relationship and a rapport with somebody and they're saying, okay, maybe am I going to trust this guy to bring in a caregiver for me that's going to help me do all these things that I never thought I'd need assistance with? And when that happens, they have a choice to kind of start filtering or to tell me the truth, and about really their past and their history. And I mean, how do you care for somebody if you don't really know the truth about them? Mm-hmm. Is there somebody special in your life? Is a question that we can ask, for instance, instead of are you married or have you been married? But, you know, those are helping to break down those boundaries or for me is a challenge that I accept and that I welcome, but I do hope that becomes easier in time, because I still have to say that most people still don't still opt just to keep it to themselves. You know,
how are Sonoma home care caregivers trained to deal with some of these problems?
Well, we have worked in the past with a great guy, and with Spectrum out of Marin County, who does offer services up here in Sonoma County as well, who does trainings for employees, does a lot of corporate trainings, and does, we're one of his first, truthfully, for a care provider, for an in-home care provider, to start doing trainings for people who are in people's homes, helping with their needs. So that's one way that we provide training. We also, of course, do the diversity statements, and every packet that we hand out, it says, hey, this agency is, welcomes diversity, whether we're hiring somebody, they get it right along with, their offer of hire, or, and when we, all our marketing material as well, and all of our new client information has the same statement. So the goal is to create a culture that, people feel comfortable with me on both sides of it, and then they end up feeling comfortable with each other. So tell
us about the screening that you underwrote of Jen Silent that you helped organize and underwrote in December.
Yeah, so this is such a great film. It's called Jen Silent, and a filmmaker, Stu Maddox, developed this film, this independent film. And it has spread like wildfire in such a great way. And it really touched on a lot of the topics that I'm speaking of tonight, aging in the LGBT community. And just by mere coincidence, Stu ends up, he actually lives part-time in Novato. So he was very instrumental, gave us great information, gave us good feedback on how to set up a really wonderful screening. And we did. So We paid for this film to have an exclusive screening in Sonoma and opened it up to the public. The Vintage House, which is the senior center in Sonoma, gave us their facilities for free to use for the event. And we had Gary Shepard there as well, who helped, host the conversations and introduce the film and such. And we tapped into as many resources as we could. And as we started tapping into him, it was amazing how much support we ended up getting. We had the Sonoma Valley Film Festival through their endorsement behind the film. We had, every people hitting the pavement, getting the word out there that this film was here. We had leaders of churches coming and saying, thank you for bringing this. This is such a great topic. And we all showed up on December 2nd on a Friday evening and had to the tune of about 100+ people.
That's amazing.
And it was, and we sat down and we watched this film, and everybody was equally moved, and I think walked away with a little bit more ownership over the topic, and a commitment to make aging better, but making aging LGBT better as well, and safer for people. And on a side note, what really was cool about that is what we decided to do was ask for a $5 donation, not to help curb the cost of bringing the film, but more so to provide a service for the LGBT community in the Valley, specifically, this is where we had the film. So we turned around and donated about $400 plus to the GSA of the Sonoma Valley High School. Who they then turned around and sent a couple delegates to a leadership conference with. So, generations helping generations,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the GSA, it's been sort of a long time coming at Sonoma Valley High School. From what I understand, you would think it would be a fairly gay-friendly area. We both live in Sonoma.
Right. So. Yeah, we both live in Sonoma. And the Sonoma gay scene is really, it's great. But the Sonoma Valley High School, from what I'm aware, yeah, the GSA was a long time coming. Mm-hmm. And it took a lot of effort. I spoke with David, who runs the GSA, just on Thursday or Friday this past week. And he was giving me a summary of how hard it was to really get it going mm-hmm. and get it supported. And when he first started there, kids were being put in garbage cans and you know, awful, awful things. Today, there is virtually no, there's very seldom, apparently, any sort of acts against LGBT teens on campus. It's the GSA is supported. They have a great group of kids, you know, gay, straight. It doesn't matter. There's a good group of kids there. So
that's great. Yeah. That's great. So getting back to the screening, what do you think the audience took away from both the film and the facilitated discussion that followed?
Well, I think what people really took away is a reminder. Okay, so a reminder of a couple of things. First is we don't like, as society, as people, to, you know, get down with the fact that we get old. So it's you know, there's a lot of hurdles that individuals have to leap themselves over to come around to this topic. You know, the first is that, oh yeah, that's right, we do get old. You know, as great as I think I am today, I will be getting age. I will age just as, you know, as these people. So, you know, it's not a sexy topic that people like, that, you know, people warm up to. So once people kind of got over that, you know, okay, now we're all on level, you know, playing field. Then I think people became more aware of the difficulties that must come up with aging in the LGBT community, not being safe. You know, we kind of take for granted today of the lifestyles that we have, and that we can, for the most part, feel okay in our own skin. It takes work for us all, you know, as a gay man, it takes work for us all to feel okay. But it's easier for us than it was for the generation before. So, you know, and a reminder that we're all, you know, that we're all in this together. And I think there was a general commitment across the board for people to try to help make a difference, you know, to help create a culture that is safer for people to age in the LGBT community. And we had straight people there. We had gay people there. You know, there were transgender. We had every walk of life. There were kids. There were, you know, elderly people. Everyone came together to have this discussion. Mm-hmm. And I think that everybody walked away prepared to make a difference with it. So. Mm-hmm.
And it's an important discussion.
Yes, it is.
Talk in that same vein. What sense do you have that other senior facilities and centers in across the North Bay? What sense do you have considering their commitment to dealing with LGBT clients and issues?
Well, you know, I think that there are. There is a commitment. There's discussion within the industry. I'm a member of a couple different groups, you know, that deal with senior issues. A lot of them are jam packed full of straight people, you know, and who have listened to this topic, and who have voiced interest and at least acknowledgement that it's very important. Whether or not they're going to do the footwork for the topic is unforeseen yet, mm-hmm. Which is why it's so important for all of us, you know, for anybody who has the passion and the drive to stand up and to help work on it. There is the lodge, in Santa Rosa, Fountain Grove Lodge in Santa Rosa, that is being built, and that's a great step in the right direction. There's companies like myself, Sonoma Home Care, who are making sure that we provide a service that caters to the LGBT population. But then again, you know, I'm a gay male, so my interest in it, you know, I have a vested interest in that. The other facilities, it's going to take a bit more noise. I think it's going to take a bit more effort on everyone's behalf to make sure that we're getting into every corner of the healthcare field. Mm. Yeah.
I've just learned that there's a women's group in Oakmont, and there are some 70 members.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't know that until tonight. I mean, that's fascinating. That's wonderful. Yeah, yeah.
I have a good friend that lives there, and she sort of turned me on to that fact. And, I'll get you in touch with these people, and thinking, it'll be a handful of people
right.
70 women.
Right, right. And what I love about that is that that's empowering.
Right.
You know, when you start aging, one of the first things that a lot of that we see that is isolation. People start to isolate themselves, mm-hmm. and you start to lose your voice or not have the energy to have a voice. But when you start gathering and you start getting together a group of people, it becomes empowering.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very happy to hear that.
And we move across generations. It's hard to remember that there is a group, like mm-hmm. you said, that went through these
right.
horrible situations and either were completely alienated from their family or, they may be at a point where they've lost their partner.
Right.
They have no children. They really have no one.
Right. And then they have very few people to turn to. And if the care providers aren't there to listen, who else is there? You know, it was interesting at one point in Stu's film, they ran stories parallel. And one of the stories was between this lesbian couple who had been together for years and were very active in the movement, very, very active in the movement. And she's
in the gay rights movement.
In the gay rights yeah. movement. Yeah. And she, she pointed at the camera and she said, we're getting old now and nobody wants to hang out with us. And, and she says, but we're pretty cool. And she was pointing at the camera and you forget all the work that we did for you. We were on the front line. We were being sprayed and fighting hard for this movement, and the idea that they're being forgotten now is really awful. It's really horrifying. So
again, on that subject, what do you think the average person can do to make life better for older members of our community?
Well, one of the things that I think is when we talk about gay rights, and is to remember that this isn't something that we're not fighting to acquire rights. We're defending rights because we all have our rights. The gay rights movement is saying, hey, get off my lawn, quit tearing up my lawn. This is my property. Please leave. So I think having ownership over that is first, and having, whether you're gay, straight, across the board,
mm-hmm.
Acknowledging that these are rights of everybody's, it's your right, Gary, it's my right, it's the right of the person in the hospital bed. That's first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
The second is to listen. I think that is one of the biggest lessons I've learned from the people that I care for. It's just take a second mm-hmm. and to listen and hear what they have to say. And if we all do that and respond accordingly, I think that we can make a difference.
Beautifully put. Beautifully put. How can folks learn more about Sonoma Home Care?
So they can go on the web, of course. We're all over that. It's sonomahomecare.com. And they can, or they can call our office or line here in Sonoma is 707-938-7371. You can Google me, Colin Turek, and be routed to Sonoma Home Care and a whole slew of our causes. So
great. Colin, it's been great chatting with you about this important issue.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Gary.
Thank you for joining us tonight, and thank you for the great work you do. We'll be right back with party producer and singer Efren Espinoza after this musical break. We'll stay on the theme of older adults with this haunting John Prine song performed by Bette Midler from her 1972 release, The Divine Miss M. This is Hello in There.
We had an apartment in the city. Living there, it's been years since the kids have grown a life of their own, left us alone. baby, in the Korean War. I still don't know what for, don't matter anymore. You know that old trees just grow strong. Waiting for someone to say hello in there, hello. Me and my husband, we don't talk much anymore. He sits and stares through the back door screen. Just repeats itself like some forgotten dream that we've both seen. Someday I'll go and call up Judy. We work together at the factory. Ah, but what would I say? When she asks what's new, say nothing, what's with you? Nothing much to do. You know that old trees just grow stronger, and old rivers grow wilder every day. Oh, but old people, just grow lonesome, waiting for someone to say hello in there, hello. So if you're walking down the street sometime and you should spot some hollow ancient eyes, don't you pass them by and stare as if you didn't care. Say hello in there.
Welcome back to Outbeat Collage Out in the Arts. I'm Michaela Kennan here with my co-hosts, Gary Carnevale and engineer Mary Moore Campagna. Joining us now is Efren Espinoza. Efren is president of ENF Productions. He has done some modeling in the past. He's a DJ. He's a singer. Welcome to Outbeat Collage, Efren.
Well, thank you for having me here at Outbeat Radio. I'm thrilled to be here.
Good. Well, we're happy to have you in studio. Let's just start right from the beginning. When did you start ENF Productions? Tell us about ENF Productions and what events have you produced?
Well, ENF Productions all began last year, at the end of March, actually, when my friend Felicitas asked me to come and join her to see if we could produce something here in Sonoma County, since we didn't have any events going on, you know, and actually all Sonoma County, since Greenville has kind of gone down a little bit, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So there were lots of venues here in Santa Rosa. It was just convenient that we did something. And so we did it. We talked to the owners of, back then it was Rapture, which, what is now Society. And so we commenced what was La Disco once a month, and that's how ENF Productions came about. So E stands for Efren and F for Felicitas.
Oh, there you go.
And so basically what makes us different from all the other events is that we bring all, basically the whole gay community together. There's no just lesbians or just gays or bis or transsexuals. Everybody comes together, you know, and that's what we enjoy the most about the events. And I think mostly everybody enjoys about the events, that there's no seclusion and mm-hmm. everybody really comes and has a good time at our events.
Mm-hmm. And then talk a little bit about Chrome Lotus.
So we approached Gianni about 5 months ago to see if we could do another monthly event, because La Disco was every last Monday of the month at Rapture. So we're like, I think it's time we start to develop a second event, you know, and at another venue so that people don't get bored about the same venue. And so he called us back a month later and said, we have been meaning to add it that night, you know, to our calendars, but we want it weekly. Mm-hmm. So we were in a little bit of a shock, but, you know, we thought about it, and really there was nothing to think about, because that's what our goal was, to have a weekly event in Sonoma County for everybody to come out and have a good time. So we called him back and we said we'll give it a go. Mm-hmm. So this is our third month going on weekly at Chrome Lotus. Mm-hmm. And it goes from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. and every Thursday.
And roughly how many in attendance usually?
I think the lowest we've had so far at Chrome Lotus has been about 80 people. Uh-huh. And the most we've had was almost topping 200. Mm-hmm. Which was the last Thursday of last month, which was Diva Night. We added a drag performer, a friend that came all the way from Sonoma, and the crowd was wowed, and mm-hmm. I mean, everybody just had a great time, and that's what we want to do, you know. We want to add a little bit of different entertainment for every Thursday, you know. One's going to be Latin Night, another one's more of dubstep, dance, house, tribal, the next one's hip-hop, because that's mainly what people like to listen around here. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is 80s and 90s, which we want it to be for the older crowd, and then also for all those people that like to dress in drag to come out. Uh-huh. Or dress in as a king too, you know, anything. Yep. Is welcome.
absolutely. Give us a little bit of the backstory on what it takes to pull off something like this, the production, from, you know, conceiving it in your mind to closing the doors.
Well, there's a lot of planning that really goes into it. I mean, we have to book the DJs, see that everything is obviously within our budget. We have to see if we want to have go-go boys and girls. If so, how many? If they're available to do it that day, you know, what times they're going to go on, what type of music we're going to have, and always have like a backup playlist, because sometimes, you know, the crowd's just not feeling the music that the DJ's playing, so we have to switch it up, you know? Mm-hmm. And we have to plan basically all the events a month ahead so that there's a minimum amount of errors. There's always going to be something that happens last minute, you know, but I mean, one or two errors compared to a whole unplanned night is nothing. And yeah, there's a lot of it. I mean, printing out the flyers, going out to the streets, telling people about it. There's Facebook. We have to send out the invites every week. We post pictures. I mean, just every single day we have to keep the flow going, you know, and keep people interested in the events and keep the buzz going, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and are you doing anything at the JC? I mean, you pulling in that crowd?
We have a couple of our friends go to both Santa Rosa and Petaluma campus. So we post a couple of flyers, and then my business partner, Felicitas, attends the JC here in Santa Rosa. So she tells people about it. You know, I always carry flyers with me everywhere I go, or my business cards. And if I see somebody, even if I'm buying a pizza, you know, and I'm like, have you heard of Thursday nights at Chrome Lotus? They're like, no. And I'm like, oh, let me bring your flyer right now.
Wow. So give us a little bit more of a description of the crowd. Is it mixed gay and straight? Or
I would say right now we probably have about 80% it's gay men and women, and roughly 20% has been probably the most that we've had of straight people and come out to our events on there at Chrome Lotus. But I think the most we've had was probably up to 30% for a straight crowd, you know, men and women. Normally it's more women that go because they're more comfortable, but even men, you know, they go with their girlfriends and they're like, my brother has been to lots of the events and he's like, this is the perfect place to go because nobody's hitting on my girlfriend. He's like, if another girl comes by, he's like, they're very respectful, and I mean, that they all know how to have a good time. If they're going to have a good time, they have a blast, because the music is better, you know, I can say.
Yeah.
And the environment, everything is just nice.
Mm-hmm. So at what point do you sense that the crowd just isn't feeling the beat and you've got to change up the playlist?
When they go to the smoking room. Yeah, lots of the people go to the smoking area if they're not feeling the music. Or they just sit down, you know, or they kind of just like, they look at the stage and at the DJ and be like, let's see what next song he's going to play. And if I like it, you know, they'll start leaving. And we're like, okay, we have to switch it now.
Yeah, so it becomes an energy thing. You can feel it very much.
Definitely. The DJ has to be totally connected with the crowd, because the crowd is very sensitive, you know, to what the DJ is doing. And Mr. Element, he's one of the DJs that has been helping us the most. He's really good with the crowd, and he grabs the mic and talks to them and be like, everybody having a good night, you know, and what type of music. And he's good with requests. I think all our DJs have been really good at accepting requests from the crowd, and I think that's why people come constantly to our events and keep supporting us, because we really give them what they want.
There is that response, and and that's the mark of a good DJ too, that he's able to read the audience, he or she is able to read the audience and know what it is they're feeling. Is there a connection between age and the kinds of music they want to hear?
Well, I think the age really doesn't matter for the people that go to the events, because, I mean, even if it's somebody that's in their 40s or 50s, the gay crowd, they just want to have a good time.
Yeah.
They enjoy really the art of the music being played, everything, you know, it just gets into your body and then you just start dancing. You know, they might not even understand what the song is about, but they're like, this sounds good. I'm going to keep on dancing. And we have people going from up the 21 to 30, maybe there's about, I would say 50%, and then the rest just keeps on going up from 30s to 40s and even 40s to 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of people from all ages.
Sure. There's kind of a known fact that gay bars are tough to hang on to. just can't survive. What is it, do you think, it takes to have a gay bar or a specialty bar like this, a specialty event, thrive and be popular?
Well, I think it's definitely basically what we try to do is, we're very responsive to what the people tell us, you know, even if it's one person that comes up and they're like, well, maybe you guys should have, I don't know, two drags instead of one, you know. Well, we'll take in consideration every single person's opinion, because you never know if it might be a great idea or it's just a good idea, you know. We can try it once. If it doesn't work, maybe we'll try it another way, you know. And I think that mainly they probably didn't survive in the past because they weren't constant, and people get bored of the same entertainment. So that's why we're trying to have each night be different, you know. And even though each night is different, every month we're trying to switch the DJs. Sometimes we have the Go-Go Boys and Girls come in for Loca instead of Euphoria, you know, and or sometimes for La Disco. And we just always try to switch it around a little bit. We have small giveaway prizes, you know, and for anything. Like for this month, the last Thursday for Diva, we're fortunate enough to have, it's a new type of vodka that's coming out next month, but we have it prior to its release, and it's called Little Black Dress. So we're going to be adding a little bit of gift bags and some vodka, you know, for people to join. We're going to be setting up in the VIP. We still haven't figured out exactly how we're going to give away or choose these people to get these prizes. But Chrome Lotus added another VIP section, which is right behind the DJ. It's a little bit more private. And we're going to have them go up there and then just try this new vodka out. And we're probably going to have, we're trying to get a drag to come in their little black dress and a girl or a boy, you know, whoever wants to come out and just hopefully promote that. Because it's something that nobody else has so far, and we're going to be the first ones to have it, luckily.
Is that a local?
Yes, it's actually it's through my business partner, Felicita. She works for Sonoma Couture, which is owned by Brown-Forman, and they're the ones developing this vodka. So she got the first on it, and she's like, I think it's a good thing if we throw it in one of our nights. You know, it fits perfectly for Diva. And
yeah, I think that's good. That's a good inside connection.
Yes.
So I've got your postcard in front of me. Break down each week. It's like on the first Thursday, it's Loca.
Yes. So for Loca, we're trying it to have it be more of Latin music, not necessarily just strictly for the Latin crowd. Obviously, everybody's invited to come to that night. We still play top 40s, but we play more Latin music that night. It's not just Latin pop. It's like a little bit of salsa and then reggaeton and Latin mixes, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's what we play on that night. So for the second night, it's Euphoria, which is more of what they play in San Francisco at the big events like Gus Presents and Industry. So it's electro, house, tribal, dance, all the music that basically gets your booty shaking. Mm-hmm. And for the third Thursday, it's La Disco, which is that. It's more of hip-hop and top 40s all night. When I go on set, of course, I have to throw in my house or dance music because I just can't do that.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I keep it minimal because we want to keep our nights true to what the advertisement is. And then for Diva, it's 80s, 90s, and then the top pop songs out there. We still... Every single night we play some of the top 40s, you know, because everybody still wants to, even though it's every Thursday we play Sexy and I Know It by LMFAO. They're like, oh, can you play it again? We're like, of course. But we might try to throw in a different mix, you know, if it's on La Disco, it can be a more of a dubstep mix or a hip-hop mix, you know, and if it's on Euphoria, it can be a tribal or a house mix.
Right.
So depending on the nights, we have good music, I think, to divide it for each one of the nights. And then if there's a fifth Thursday, which some months do have, that's when we have a customer appreciation night, which it's kind of a way for us giving back to the community for supporting the events and coming every Thursday, and we make it a free night.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun.
That's excellent. Well, and it accommodates everyone too.
Yeah, because everybody, I mean, I'm on a budget too, and I know that sometimes people don't have the funds to be coming every single Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, at least if you couldn't come to the other four Thursdays, you know, come out on the last Thursday, which is free. And then that's why also we were able to add the guest list thing, which we posted on all the events on Facebook and in the future in our website, which should be done shortly, I think by next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a URL code that basically, if you click on it, it takes you directly to the guest list on Chrome Lotus. And so you get in for free along with up to 5 guests before 10:30.
So you put your name in?
You just put your information. I think it has for email and phone number and how many guests you want to bring with you, and I'll get in for free before 10:30. So I think that's what's kept our events going, because, and we're happy, you know, because more people come, and then we want the night to start early, because mm-hmm. some people have to go home, you know, we work on Fridays and not everybody lasts until 2 a.m. So if they get in early, you know, and they start drinking a little bit, if they leave by 1, you know, mm-hmm. they had a blast. They had enough time to have a good time, and what they could have spent at the cover, they spend another drink instead, you know, so
yeah,
it's better.
So everybody wins.
Yes.
Everybody wins. That's good. And the 20-something generation, which you're part of, weekly or monthly events? Is there a preference there?
No, I think, again, it's every Thursday. It's the same crowd. I mean, the biggest percentage is, yes, within the 20s mm-hmm. to 30s. But, I mean, we have our regulars from 40s to 50s, 30s to 40s. But it's just always the same, you know. It's not just like, oh, this night is just for the older crowd and no young people come. No, everybody comes together, you know, and everybody has a good time. And I don't think they care if there's somebody that's 21 years old dancing next to 40 years old. You know, everybody has a good time.
Yeah, it's really about the experience and
yes.
just the energy and just free to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can just...
And that's one of the things we like the most from Chrome Lotus. I think I can honestly say from all the places we've thrown events at, they've been the most welcoming to us. I mean, no other club let us put a gay flag outside of their venue. And they even told us, you know, why didn't you guys put a gay flag outside? And we're like, are you serious? They're like, yeah. You know, like their owners are really, really nice and supportive about our events. You know, they always try to work one way or another with us because, you know, it's tough. You know, it's on a Thursdays. Lots of people work Fridays, and not everybody in the gay community in Sonoma County knows about the events, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very flexible with us, and they're very welcoming, you know, everybody, the bartenders, security, everyone. So I think that's really what plus, it's like a plus added to what we provide, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The club also has their little extra sugar coating on our nights.
And it's positive throughout the whole spectrum
mm-hmm.
of the supporters, the venue, the facilities, and that's contageous, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Tell me a little bit about your singing, your passion for singing, and what you want to do with yourself as a singer.
Well, ever since I was a kid, I was in the choir. I played the guitar. We would go to Sunday Mass in Mexico, and I was a little bit of the leader of the choir when the nun couldn't attend. So it was always fun, but I didn't have the confidence myself, you know, to think it would ever be a possibility for me to become a singer. And my dad is always winning singing contests everywhere. You know, even 2 years ago, I got a message from my friends on Facebook. They're like, did you know that your dad won another singing contest?
Wow.
And I'm like, no, I didn't, but I'm not surprised. But it was just up until a couple months ago, you know, over where I work in Healdsburg, the older crowd actually were the ones that encouraged me. Mm-hmm. And a dear friend of mine, Alan, he's like, you have to do this. You know, it fits your passion and you believe in it. Just do it, you know. And I've always been somebody that once I put my mind to something, I'm very hands-on. And there's nothing negative coming about it. You know, if they can throw as many rocks as they want to me, but I'm always going to get up and I'm always going to find a solution to it. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to do this. So I've been writing lots of songs. I thought it was going to be really hard, but it's been surprisingly easy for me. What's been hard is coming up with how to sing the songs I compose. That's really hard because when I'm listening to so many other songs, I'm like, it's hard to not be influenced by the music you listen to. Mm-hmm. So that's what's been the most difficult for me. And but I mean, so far I've been doing good. I recorded in Paramount Records about a month and 2 weeks ago in Hollywood, and I recorded 7 songs that I wrote, and I'm thinking of launching 2, hopefully within the next month. I actually met this weekend with one of the producers that I want to work with. He's also gay. He's right now Mexico's number one DJ. He's Alex Acosta. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about it and seeing which single would be best to launch, and if we're going to launch it as just a club party song for everybody to get for free to get my name out there, or if we're going to introduce it to the record label, because that's eventually what I want to obtain, you know, a record contract and do a full album, and that'll allow me to make my events bigger, you know, everything, do all the hobbies and mm-hmm. really get all my passions.
And give me a little sense of your style.
I consider myself to be a very different from what's out there. I mean, I listen to music from Turkey, Korea, Japan, France, everywhere. So I like cultural sexy beats, I call them. Uh-huh. So if you listen to a track from China, it might be in pop, but I wanted to have their instruments from that country, you know, to make it unique and distinctive. So that's kind of what it's going to be for me. It's going to be like pop dance, but with that touch, you know, mm-hmm. of extra added to it. And I don't think that there's anybody out there that's going to have really the music that I'm going to have to offer, hopefully, if everything comes through. I mean, there's tons of singers, but I feel like they're all too commercial. And there's very few that are a little bit unique. And, I mean, Lady Gaga was one of them, and look at where she's now, you know?
Absolutely.
So I hope that one day it all comes through.
And your lyrics, what kinds of lyrics do you write? Are they from your own personal experience? Or?
Well, my friend Alan actually had a great idea once, because I had about 5 songs written down, and he's like, why don't you write a song that shows your progression from working at the office and your life as a child and sort of turning it into making this dream come true. So that was the result of Dream Song, mm-hmm. which I wanted to be, I don't know if it's going to be the first or second single, but it's definitely going to be one of the first two. It basically talks about my routine at the office, how annoying I was, and how I felt that I'm like, you know, this is not for me. It's not feeling enough, you know, it's just too easy and I want something better. And and going into the singing, you know, and getting there. And then the second single is more of a summer hit anthem kind of thing. It's going to be called Wild Drums. Mm-hmm. So that's totally a party song. It's all about the heat in the summer and everybody dancing bodies together and mm-hmm. having mm-hmm. a good time. Mm-hmm.
Where can we hear this?
Well, soon, hopefully. I'm updating everybody on my Facebook, which I have my personal one. And then if you go through the public Facebook, if you type in Efren Espinoza, mm-hmm. you'll see my fan page, and then that's where I'm going to be posting everything for now. I will be posting up on YouTube, and then once everything's finished, I mean, iTunes, Amazon, everywhere. But there's probably a couple of months to go up to that, but for now, everything's going through Facebook, mm-hmm. and soon in the future, I'll have my own website, hopefully, too, but for now, it's my main source of networking and advertising is Facebook.
Mm-hmm. So there you have it, folks. So it's EFFRIN.
EFREN.
Okay, you spell it for us.
So my name is EFRENESPINOZA. Efren Espinoza.
All right. Go to Facebook, type yes. that in, click like.
Yes, click like, please.
Click like. We always want to do that. Did I hear also, I think maybe as we were talking out in the other room about you doing some music for a soundtrack, or a soundtrack for a film?
Oh, yes. That's actually, I was really excited about it. It just, again, I don't know, I've had really good luck come from Facebook and MySpace back in the days for opportunities like that. But so the owner of D Street Media Group, which is, they do lots of films within, they're based in Argentina and Buenos Aires and Germany. So Dexter Davis contacted me through there, and he's like, I'm in Petaluma right now. I'm meeting with a couple of investors for the company, and I want to meet you. So his initial plan was to have me be an ambassador for his company because he wants to infiltrate the Mexican Latino market. But after I told him about the whole music thing, he's like, no, you're too into that. There's no way I can drag you out of it. So he had me sing. And even though I was sick and falling apart, I was like, okay, I'll throw in a little bit of one of Beyonce's songs, one of my favorites, Flaws and All. Mm-hmm. And then he just started staring at me. He's like, how would you like to do the next soundtrack for my next movie? And I just kind of stood silent, you know. I was like, okay, did I just hear this?
Oh, that's fabulous.
He's like, I'm serious. And so I left, you know, and I was like, I didn't think he was going to send me the script, but I got it on Monday, and I've started to read a couple of the pages, and it's going to be an interesting movie.
Wow. That's fantastic. That's so positive. That's so encouraging.
Yep.
For anyone else out there too who aspires to be doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. That's what I always tell everybody. If you have a passion or something that motivates you to get up and every day and just do it, you know, if you really want it, you'll get it done. Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to stop you. You know, don't think about plan B, because it doesn't exist. Just think about plan A and go for it and put all your energy and effort into it. If there's somebody being negative about it, your friends or whatever, just don't listen to them. Just listen to yourself, and then I'm sure you'll get there.
That's fabulous. That's fabulous. So again, we can learn more about you by going to the Facebook page.
Yes.
EFREN.
Mm-hmm.
Espinoza.
Yes.
Click like. And then Chrome Lotus, and that is at 501 Mendocino Avenue. And every Thursday evening is the special
Correct.
Community for the Rainbow community. That's the special event. So any other events coming up that you've got planned already? Or
well, this Thursday is actually going to be La Disco. And then the end of the month, we're going to have Diva, which is when we're going to be throwing out the Little Black Dress event. So we encourage everybody to come in a Little Black Dress.
I think that's a great invitation. All right. It's been wonderful to chat with you. And
thank you for having me.
Pick up on your energy and learn about all of these wonderful things that are happening, these brand new, all this positive thrust that's going on now in our community, not the city. Not someplace else, but right here in Santa Rosa.
Yes, and you don't have to worry about the drive all the way to the city or coming back home and you had a couple of drinks and getting pulled over by the cops. You know, it's here. So that's the best benefit out of our events.
Good, good. Thank you for all this planning and passion that you're putting into it.
Thank you.
We want to again thank Colin thank Colin Turk for being with us also. And invite you to tune in again to KRCV Public Radio as often as possible, but especially every Sunday night at 8 p.m. for the Outbeat Radio segments. Next week, Jeff Basham and Greg Moralia will host Outbeat Now. And then myself, Gary Carnevale, and Mary Moore Campagna will return with Outbeat Collage Out in the Arts on Sunday, February 19th. Our guest that night will be local singer-songwriter Bobby Joe Valentine, and Mark Gallipo, who organizes an LGBT dance group called Queer Contra.